Loving God, open our hearts to hear your word. Set our hearts on fire with love for you. Stir our hearts to do your work in the world. Amen. It's still dark. Dawn not yet broken. But Mary is up. Perhaps she never went to sleep, too disoriented by her grief to close her eyes. Perhaps she woke slowly, only to jolt at the memory, briefly forgotten, of what had transpired in the last few days. Because it had only been a few days, hadn't it? Little more than 48 hours earlier, they had been gathered for the Passover meal. It had been a meal like no other. Before they ate, Jesus knelt down before each of his friends, took their feet in his hands, and gently washed them. And then, as they sat around the table, Jesus did something he'd never done before. He took the bread and wine and told his friends that whenever they gathered to break bread together, he would be there with them. But then things started to unravel. They went out to a place with Jesus, a garden, and stayed with him as he prayed. And suddenly, soldiers appeared, led by their friend, Judas. And the soldiers arrested Jesus, hauled him away to stand trial before the chief priests. The next hours were a blur. No one knew what was going on. They were confused, scared. Were they going to be arrested too? What was going to happen to Jesus? Finally, they had a moment of hope. Pontius Pilate always released a prisoner at the Passover. He let the crowd decide who. Surely this gathered crowd, these people who just a few days earlier had been hailing Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem, waving palm branches in the air and shouting, "Hosanna!" Surely these people would choose to release Jesus. But no, something had changed. And instead, they were asking Pilate to execute Jesus. And he agreed. The unthinkable happened. Jesus, Mary's friend, her mentor, the man she believed to be the Messiah, the one who was promised, was nailed hands and feet to the cross, and he died. Mary is heartbroken. She thought Jesus was going to change the world. How could things have ended so disastrously? And so it is that Mary finds herself walking in the dark to Jesus' tomb. But when she arrives, she discovers that the tomb has been disturbed. The stone rolled away and Jesus' body gone. They couldn't even let him rest in peace. She can't face this new awfulness alone, so she runs to find two of Jesus' other friends and shares the news. Together they rush back. Peter notices that Jesus' burial garb, the linens that had been so carefully wrapped around his body, have been discarded. Jesus is truly gone, and they have no idea where. The others return home. But Mary can't bring herself to leave. her despair just too much to bear. Two people appear. Maybe they can tell her what happened. Why won't they just tell her what they've done with his body? Her grief, confusion, her frustration are near to boiling over. The gardener stands outside and Mary begs, "Where is Jesus?" If she can just take the body, if she can just care for it, bury it safely, maybe things won't seem so horrible. If only there was something she could do, maybe the pain wouldn't be so awful, and then Mary. Her breath catches in her throat. That voice. It sounds like, but no, it can't be. She looks up and sees, really sees, who is calling her name. It's him. Jesus. Somehow, impossibly, miraculously, alive again. In an instant, her tears of despair turn to tears of elation. The only word she can muster is teacher. She wants nothing more than to cling to him, to stay here forever and bask in the joy of his return. But Jesus tells her, "No, we can't stay. You need to go back and tell my other followers what you have seen, that I have been resurrected from the dead." And so, with a full heart, nearly bursting with joy, Mary runs back to the others and shares the good news. "I have seen the Lord." In that one moment, when Jesus calls Mary by her name, the world changed. For Mary, and for all of us, Jesus called her by her name, made it clear that she was known, that she was loved, and in turn, Mary knew God, the God who made each of us, the God who loves us unceasingly, the God who tenderly wipes the tears away from our eyes and intimately calls us each by name. Our God has risen victorious, conquering death once and for all. This is the joy of Easter. This is the promise of Easter, the hope of Easter. The resurrection doesn't take away all the ills of the world. But it promises us that discouragement and defeat, disappointment and death are never the end. Perhaps our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, puts it best. God sent a message and declared that death does not have the last word. Hatred does not have the last word. Violence does not have the last word. Bigotry does not have the last word. Sin, evil do not have the last word. The last word is God. And God is love. We are invited to share in that love, to bask in that love, to let that love infuse every fiber of our being so that we can, in turn, share that love with others. Like Mary, God takes our despair and turns it into joy. Sometimes instantly, sometimes over the course of a lifetime. But God enables us to know that joy so that we might shout to the world that we have seen the resurrection. We have experienced the love of God. We have seen the empty tomb, and we have seen the Lord. And we know that even in our darkest moments of despair, God is there, working in us and through us to create new hope, new life, to resurrect all things and make them new again. We have seen the Lord. Alleluia. Alleluia.